boxes matching every level of golf and bent grass greens. Book your tee time at acornsgolf.com.
Royal Banks of Missouri was there as the Blues needed a new practice home, and they can be there on your next project too. Go online to royalbanksofmo.com.
In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular schedule of roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Who's ready for Maryland-style crab cakes? At Surf and Sirloin, it's a true crab cake. No peppers or onion, no filler, just a little egg and breadcrumbs to bind the cake together. The crab cake entree is 8 ounces, of which 7.5 ounces is crab meat. That's how little filler is in there. Surf and Sirloin, located Southwest Quadrant of Manchester and 270, and serving only USDA prime beef, which you won't find at the grocery store. Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, call 822-3637 or through the app Open Table or online at surfandsirloin.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks. Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
Remember that guy? The guy in school who was the first to have a beard?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And body hair?
Yep. That was Dan in third grade.
Well, because he was 18.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. That was actually my buddy Tim Reynolds. I had a couple friends like that. Tim was like that, and a guy named Mark Bailey. We were in junior high, and he could grow a mustache.
I was in, like, 7th or 8th grade. I don't think it was much more than that. Maybe it was freshman high school, and there was one guy who had full pubic hair. I mean, like a full man-like patch of pubic hair.
Well,
yeah.
How would you know that?
I didn't want to see it. I accidentally saw it.
Right.
I knew you'd do that. Okay, I said, show me your pubic hair, man. But there's always that guy with underarm hair, and then of course the guy who shaves like a full beard at 14 or something.
Yeah.
We had a couple of girls in my class.
Girls, like seagulls?
Girls in my class that actually had to shave as well. You know, it was
kind of
unfortunate. No, you could see like the stubble on the upper lip and stuff like that on the cheek. Yeah. They were
Would you slap with them with beards?
Probably not.
Yeah, you would have. You were
probably
a
not. No,
right.
But that would have.
Right. Yeah, not hit right.
Your beard tickles when I kiss you.
Yeah, right. You know,
hey, honey, can I borrow your electric shaver?
Sure.
You know, they got to do that leg thing though. They don't have to, but that no, thank you.
I know.
And then how do you do that without, well, I was going to say cutting yourself, but how do you shave your face without cutting yourself? But they have to do the whole leg, I almost said the leg, and I told you, I worked with a woman one time, and she was in her 40s, she'd never shaved her legs.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. But the hair was all real blonde, real fine blonde, you really almost couldn't see it. And everybody, all women wore pantyhose back then. It's just, she just mentioned it one day, I don't know what we're talking about, she goes, oh, I've never shaved my legs. And she just kind of pulled her skirt up and said, look. And I thought, yeah. And it wasn't like an unsightly hair or stubble. It's just she'd never done it, so it was real fine. And if she hadn't said anything, I don't think I would have noticed it. Yeah, but the pantyhose, they kind of matted down the blonde hair.
It's a deal breaker, though.
Well, to me,
it's a deal breaker.
To me,
I don't care how hot you are from the face up. 40 years of leg hair? Come on.
It's the armpit hair that really doesn't do it for me.
I saw that for the first time in my 20s. My late 20s, maybe 30, my wife and I went to, there used to be a big resort chain called Club Med. Mm. Club Med was the hot, with it, hip. That's where the people with a little bit of money went. And you'd buy beads, pop beads, and you paid for everything with pop beads. You want a pina colada? 8 pop beads. You'd buy a whole string of pop beads, and that was your currency. And we're down, there was a boat dock, and Club Med, anything went. It's kind of like hedonism. Women walk around with no clothes on and stuff. So my wife and I go there. She had a one-day pass because she was a travel agent. We want to see what it's like. The first time I've ever in my life that I was on vacation and saw a naked woman, and this woman was so stunning, and what a body.
Well, you were married, so.
I was.
That would stand to say that the first time you ever saw a naked woman.
Oh, I still haven't seen my wife naked. She won't let me do that.
It's a lights-out marriage,
Dan. Oh, yeah, she will not let me do that. And so somebody waved at this girl who knew her, and she turned around and waved back, and when she raised her arm, Don King in the headlock.
Yeah.
She had just globs of underarm hair, and it kind of almost just overpowered everything else. Would I have slept with her? Yes, but you have to keep her arms down to her side. Do not raise your arm.
I love that description.
Don King in the headlock. Of course, he's gray now, so that means it's an old lady's underarm hair. Who would you replace him with if it were darker hair?
Who's got
wild hair.
Your boy Seth Rogen's got some pretty wild hair.
Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Does it have to be wild hair?
Gotta be wilder.
Who's the guy? Lenny Kravitz?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Kravitz in a headlock.
Yeah. That's got some pretty interesting hair.
That would work. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon. It's the 20th day of May. Nice day, but to me it's just another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Now, to the lady who emailed me and said she hates that, I get it, but we can't stop doing something because one person hates it, and here's the deal. I had more than one person say, oh, good to hear that again, because we dropped it for a while. So most of the response has been, oh, yeah, I love that. So sorry, can't stop doing something because one person doesn't like it. It is another sleepy, dusty Delta day. Josh Bauman's in today in the 4 o'clock hour. I say that so that you can jot down or make a note somehow of the question you want to ask about whatever tech product is driving you crazy. We have to talk or mention the Blues. How about a round of applause for 5-0 butt-kicking last night?
First time in NHL history that they had a penalty shot, a shutout, and a hat trick in one playoff game.
And if they win tomorrow night?
Yes.
If they win tomorrow night, and I don't know anything about anything, but I do know it'll be the first time in 49 years they've been to the finals, and that's a big deal. This town's going to go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. StubHub ticket prices.
Oh, here we go.
Within the hour.
Here we go.
I looked them up just as a conversation piece since we have 3 hours to kill here.
Oh, you had to research.
Lowest price on StubHub right now for an upper-level, upper-row ticket to the game tomorrow night. Guess. I think I told Viney and Dan.
$1,500?
Yeah, the lowest price for an upper-level seat. No, it's just $270.
Oh, oh.
$270.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That normally goes for what?
30? Less than 100.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the highest price for a seat on the glass, an all-inclusive seat on the glass, one ticket on seat on the glass.
$1,600.
You're right there. Oh, right. $1,600. Wow.
And you know what? If you have the money...
Those prices will double, if not triple, if they go to the finals.
Ooh. But if you have the money and you're a big hockey fan, I think that's a fair, reasonable price. I do, for people who have the money.
Well, the thing is that they're playing, if they may move on to the finals, they're playing Boston, which is a huge, massive city and has a huge, massive hockey following and probably has a lot more people, a lot more rich, millionaire-style people than the St. Louis market has. And what'll be interesting, and Dan talked about this last week, what'll be interesting is if the Blues make it to the finals, what the Dallas Stars did, and I asked Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues, about this, and he says a lot of other teams are doing it. I still don't have a clear understanding if the Blues do this, but there are teams that prohibit credit card holders from other states from buying tickets to games in their venue.
Yeah.
When the Blues played Dallas, the Stars made an announcement that only residents of New Mexico, Texas, and Oklahoma, and whatever other state borders Texas, would be allowed to purchase tickets to home playoff games against the Blues. Nashville started all this a couple years ago because the Blackhawks fans and the Blues fans, for that matter, used to overtake. I went to a Blues-Boston game a couple years ago in this market, and Boston didn't even make the playoffs that year. And I was stunned at how many Boston fans were in our arena.
Yeah.
And I'll be real curious to see what the Blues do about that if they make it.
And if the last time the Blues were in the finals was 1970 against the Boston Bruins.
All right. I'm sure we'll touch on that later, but I have to go ahead and get something out of the way about Saturday night, and it's going to kill me to say this. And it's two things, actually, and they're both going to kill me. Saturday night was the Window World Trivia Night. It was a tremendous event. They raised a ton of money and packed house. I mean, as those things go, and I've only been to three total in my life, you can't do it better than Window World does it. So at our table, there was a couple from over in Illinois, around Vandalia. It's pretty good drive to get here. And they were there courtesy of a friend who bid and paid $5,000 for them to be there. So, you know, when you, and my wife and I sat next to them. So when you go and it's blind, like a blind date, you don't know what you're in for. Got really lucky. John and JC, their names. Now, this is the part that kills me. I got a nice email from John. He said what a wonderful time they had, what a thrill it was to be there and meet me and Tim and you, Limey, and Dan and Sandy. And then at the end he said, and this is the part that's so difficult for me to say, that he thinks his wife, JC, might have a little bit of a crush on Tim. Now, I watched her, she did not drink. My first thought was, well, she was drunk. No, she wasn't.
No, she wasn't intoxicated.
Now, it gets worse. It gets better for Tim, but worse overall. My wife, I said, you know, if Limey and Tim hadn't been there, we'd have really looked pretty stupid. I got like one or two questions, and that's it. And she said, yeah. She said, you know, Tim's not married, is he? And I said, no. And she says, I'm surprised. He's really smart and nice and a nice-looking man. Then I was thinking, well, how much did my wife have to drink? And she only had, I think, two drinks. I didn't have any. Huh. She had two. So she wasn't, you know, beer goggles drunk.
Maybe the big guy is coming like back into fashion now. You know, maybe that's appealing to ladies. They want something they can cuddle with.
Who was it on this show last week that said it isn't the physicality that the women fall for, it's the personality? Who said that on the show last week? You did, or Dan did. Somebody did.
Well, there you go.
Might have been me.
I don't think I would have said anything. Yeah,
but the problem with that is she actually used the words nice looking.
Yeah. I know. What's that about?
I don't know.
Well, Frank, I had $100 that I brought with me, and I paid JC $25 to have her husband email me that. I paid $25 to your wife to say that, and then I paid $50 to those girls that demanded they take a picture with you after the event was
thank
over.
Thank you for that.
So that's how I donated my $100 that night.
Well, it was well done and well thought out and executed, and to you know everybody who helped and made it possible. I'm sure they're very, very grateful to all of you. As I said, Josh Bauman in the 4 o'clock hour. Does anybody have anything to say? Now, it's a Monday, surely, after a weekend. I didn't mean to call you Shirley.
Oh.
Somebody has something. Anybody. Going once. Burke segment.
I don't have anything today.
Go ahead, Dan.
What?
I don't
really have anything.
So you're not supposed to make a sound unless you have to say
I want to look at your contracts. It says be sure to make some notes over the weekend, have something to talk about. Now, Dan, you said you have nothing. Tim Woodburn,
I do.
Everybody. You're welcome.
Thank you. That's it?
No, I'm just kidding. Now, see, now JC and my wife are going, Andy's funny. Andy's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Witty.
Yeah.
Witty, funny.
This whole Game of Thrones thing. I have a friend who is like read all the books.
And before you say anything, I watched it last night with my wife.
Oh, yeah?
She's read all the books and. Literally, this, and I haven't seen any of the seasons, maybe one or two episodes. I just never got into it. But everybody was talking about it. So this year, a friend of mine and I have watched every episode of the final season except one when she had something else to do. So I literally have had to, this entire season, pause the show like four or five times, which kind of gets on her nerves, but she deals with it because I paid for dinner. And I paused the show to say, now I don't understand this. What, you know, these dragons, you know, what, she, how did she give birth?
I didn't know until last night there's only one dragon.
Well, there was three.
Oh.
Okay, well, you know, the eggs weren't the eggs inside her at one point?
No.
Oh, okay, well.
Woman gave birth to the dragon?
No.
Wait, hold it. The dragon did it with her?
No.
Oh.
Then why is she the mother of dragons? She was given three eggs. Did she incubate them, or did she?
No.
What did she do?
Tell me. Right. So At her first wedding, she was giving these three eggs as like a gift, right? Then at the very end of that season, her first husband dies. He dies of an infection, and he's tricked by this like this witch doctor, right? So as punishment and as a funeral pyre, they build this giant funeral pyre for her husband, and they put the witch in there. And
now, what is a pyre exactly?
Like it's a you know when
a bonfire.
Yeah, a bonfire.
Okay.
Yeah. So a funeral bonfire, right? And then at the end of it, Daenerys is all like, oh, I'm so heartbroken. I'm going to end my life. Blah, 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 blah. She walks into the fire carrying these three eggs. Lo and behold, for some magical reason, she never burns or never fit, like, nothing ever burns her. So then eventually, after, like, you know, just before the credits, we see the fire die down and it's a new day and the smoke lifts. And there she is in the fire with three dragons.
Just so the warmth dragons. Must have incubated the eggs.
Yeah,
so,
that's what we're
so
saying.
So she raised these little dragons from little baby dragons, and as my understanding, they kept them in a pit under the ground so that they wouldn't grow and be huge because they were starting to murder kids and stuff like that, and so she kept them down there, and then finally they got out. I still don't understand how they got out or why they got out.
Do you want me to tell out? You or you can find out?
Okay.
Well, it's over now.
They were like pit bull dragons.
Well, I mean, you know, you can still go back and watch them, you know, so I don't want to ruin any
What happened to the other two dragons? Because the only one I saw was the one she rides on.
No, they both died this season. One turned evil and one got shot out of the sky.
That's a pretty cool thing when they blow that fire. Woo!
Yeah, I mean, that was.
That's so impressive.
That was my point is that was the only disappointing thing of the episode last night was, you know, the dragon has this mental connection with her. And, of course, she gets stabbed to death by her lover slash nephew.
Yeah, right.
And
hang on. There's a lot of that in this thing, too. I didn't know until a couple of weeks ago.
There's a load of incest.
We're watching the short-haired, tall gal. And I said, okay, I said, who's that? I keep having to ask, who's that? And she said, oh, that's her twin brother. And they have a son together. What?
Yeah. You're just like me. It's like the friend that I've watched this with. I'm like, okay, now the handicapped guy does what, and the midget does what, I gotta give them all nicknames because I can't remember all these ridiculous four syllable names.
Going back to like to keep the kids safe and the dragons from going out there and eating people. There were two trapped. One had already kind of flown off and done its own thing for a bit, and so they're trapped in this little dungeon, and then. The hand, Peter Dinklage, he goes in and he releases him.
Now, wait a minute, you said the hand. There's a guy also with, like, a gold hand.
That's Jamie. That's Jamie Lannister.
Yeah, got a metal hand.
He was the brother of the queen that she fought at the end. Mm-hmm. And then he died, and they died in each other's arms because they also were doing it.
So the dragons had a name, Bob, Steve, and Dick.
Oh, gee.
You know what? So did they have a scene, because I didn't see most of this, did they have a scene where when this guy loses his hand and he needs a metal hand, did they go to like a foundry or a blacksmith, and he goes, yeah, what do you got for me? Well, we got a hand job. Can you handle it? Well, it is. It would
that
be.
That's terrible.
As opposed to a horseshoe job.
I was actually amazed at how there was great closure to it. You knew what happened to every character at the end, which is what you sort of got with The Sopranos, except for Tony. And in The Wire, you knew what happened at the end. And in Breaking Bad, you knew what happened to all the primary characters at the end. And that was what I was really glad at in watching this last night. You knew what happened to everybody at the end except that dragon. Yeah. You don't know what happened to that dragon. They say, oh, he flew east. Oh, I hope he keeps going. It's like there was no closure with the dragon.
Who do you think is hotter? The little blonde who rode the dragon or the tall blonde that they threw tomatoes at?
The little blonde.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Danny.
Yeah.
See, I like that other one.
Danny.
I like that one they threw vegetables at. And by the way, sorry, those of you who don't watch Game of Thrones,
maybe you have
world is talking about it.
I've never watched it.
And you may want to go back now and watch.
You'd like it.
Because, you know, you can still do that. But here's the deal. I kind of like that one, but I found out it meant, and I hate it when my wife is right, but they marched her nude through the people and they threw vegetables at her.
Yeah.
What kind of punishment is that? Vegetables. She's hungry. She's catching them in her mouth. but my wife said, that's not her body. That's a body double. Turns out it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Wow. Good job. It looked just like
her. As far as I know, there's only one movie where she exposes her breasts, and that's called The Parole Officer. It's an English movie with an actor called Steve Coogan, and she was just kind of starting out. Like, I don't remember
Steve
her name.
Steve Cooter.
Coogan.
Wow.
Yeah. That's his name. And, yeah, that was, I think, one of her first big movies, and she gets her boobs out.
Well, here's the other thing about Game of Thrones. It's dirty.
Yep.
They use the C-O-C-K word a lot.
And, oh, yeah.
And they
C-U-N-T
show nudity.
C-U-N-T word, too.
Oh, that's right. And they show wieners and anginas.
Mm-hmm. My ex-wife's in this movie?
Oh, come on, kids. You shouldn't be laughing at that.
So it's over.
It had closure.
Over.
It was such a powerful show. That there's no way I would have gotten into it unless
You think it's better than Breaking Bad?
No.
I don't either.
No, but I would have never understood it had I not had a tutor to walk me through the last episode.
If my wife hadn't been there, I'd watch 5 minutes and I have no idea what this is about.
Exactly. I think you'd like it if you went back and if you watched it from the beginning.
Maybe. I will tell you what you're right,
but to get into it in season 8 after not having watched
it. You need somebody to guide
at any point through the series. If I just watched it without her, I would have been out within 15 minutes because the first time they said, "Me Lord or Your Grace," I'm gone. I hate that.
You're out.
I can't stand that. So I'm out. So it's over, and now very soon people stop talking about it, and there'll be something else come along and we'll talk about that.
They say, Entourage was a show I loved, right? And Entourage set up that show when that series was over. There was already rumors that there was going to be a spin-off movie, so they can go back and get that last, X amount of million. And they did, and Entourage made a movie, and it was okay. I mean, I watched it, I think, twice. I mean, it was fun. It was a fun watch. Well, I'm hearing that there's going to be, three spin-off series of this Game of Thrones.
That's what I heard.
I'm sure there will be.
Well, it's kind of like what Star Wars did, because when Star Wars came out, that was the fourth, originally, it was supposed to be the fourth of nine, and now I don't even know what the number is. But
and then they said something about a prequel, too. There could be a prequel that comes out.
That's one of them that he's mentioned. All the spin-offs are going to be prequels, they're saying. Okay. All the things leading up to this.
Wow.
So
Dinklage will...
He gets top billing. Can you believe that? Yeah. I mean, he was an important character in this, but for him to get top billing, because they don't list those actors and actresses by alphabetically. They introduce them as, who's the big kahuna, and then who's second and who's third,
Well, he's probably of all the people there, if you're looking at the screen, you're more apt to pay attention to him just because he's 2 feet tall.
I think the one he's got the most credentials on his resume, he's been in a couple movies. I know he was in the most recent Thor movie.
See, my friend who's a fanatic says that the reason they did that because they wanted to be the first show in the history of movies or TV series to have a little person as the lead actor in the credits.
Not the first. Tattoo, Fantasy Island.
Yeah.
The Bling.
Was he listed first on the credits?
He was as important as anybody.
Was he listed first?
No, I don't know.
Montalban was listed first, I think.
You remember what commercials Ricardo Montalban used to do?
It was, Cordoba.
Chrysler Cordoba.
Which had the
fine Corinthian leather.
Yeah.
And I read a great article because there's no such thing as Corinthian leather.
Really?
What a great marketing scam. Yeah, nobody ever questioned it. They go, well, Corinthian leather, what's that? And that doesn't exist. It's just leather. They just named it that for that car. Something else to come along, and I guess we can close. Was that it? Close the Burke segment? Burke segment is officially closed. And I'd like to talk, if I could, folks, with you about something very inside. Let's discuss a little bit about this radio station. I had lunch today with the guy who owns this place. Now, I have not been in his presence in probably 7 or 8 months. Well, I've been here a year and a half. I have no contact with him, really, but we had lunch today. I find him very interesting in a lot of ways, and one of them is that he's never heard this show. And you say, well, he's just saying that. No, he's not. I believe him. He's not a guy to BS you. He's a guy that just sometimes, to his detriment, just blurts out, tells the truth, and sometimes says the wrong thing in the wrong places. I believe him. He's never heard the show. Now, how can that be? How can you own this place and never have heard the show?
Well, John Hadley sent an email out to all of the staff here.
Who's that?
A couple of months ago. Exactly. it was a couple of months ago, and it was regarding a personnel issue. But, Hadley sometimes goes on these rants, where he'll start an email off with one subject, then all of a sudden we're about at subject 7 at the end of the email. And he referred to this station as his part of his portfolio. That it's just his, he's got a restaurant, he's got I don't know many people that own businesses in all kinds of different walks of life, but I'm sure people that do spend a lot of time with their favorite ones and not a lot of time with the ones either that aren't doing as well as the other two or that they just don't have a personal interest in as much as the other two. And that's what he's trying. The man owned a boot store. He's owned restaurants. It's my understanding he's going into the marijuana business. You know, I mean,
a lot of people are.
Yeah, and so he's got a lot going on, you know. Maybe he doesn't have time to listen to the radio.
Well, no, here's the thing. You're right. He when I came on board a year and a half ago, he was all gung-ho. He, let's go. You know, let's make this, turn this station. And then very quickly, he just kind of lost interest because once he realized what it would take in terms of the right people to do this and this and this, and couldn't seem to find all of those people, he's moved on to other things. And I said to him, I said, look, why don't you listen to the show? I said, I think you'd actually enjoy it. But I'm just so busy. I said, really? You're too busy to just listen to the show for a day? Well, no, he doesn't do it.
You weren't there, and I'm not sure why. I think you had other plans. But Limey and I, and Dan, were you at the Christmas party?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we were all at the Christmas party. And at Randy's house, okay, which is a well past $1 million valuated house.
Okay? Oh, you got a new one now. Well, I understand.
So when we were at that party, we were all kind of laughing because it was the first Christmas party I ever attended where there was a for sale sign out in front of the house, and the house was for sale. Yeah. So the story, as I hear it, is Randy put that house on the market. It didn't sell right away, and he went and bought another house of equal value.
Oh, yeah,
he did. So now he's got two. So he goes and makes all these rehab and all these different furnishings and makes all these rehabilitation efforts to the house, and then when he gets done with the rehabilitation efforts, he don't like that either. And now he's got that house on the market for sale and bought a third house.
No, good for him.
So the two are for sale, and he's now in house three.
Yeah.
From just the Christmas party 5 months ago.
Hey, if you can do it, do it. Good for him.
There's a man with a lot on his plate.
I have no problem with any of that. It's hard for me to imagine owning a radio station and not listening to it, at least not to this show. But you know what? That's his choice, and he has every right to do that. I didn't beg him to listen. And let me throw this into it. We may be better off that he doesn't listen. He might listen to this thing and go, what in the hell did I do here? I mean, because it really is a misfit show. It's a sports station, and we're not a sports show. So maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's the only reason we're still here is because he hasn't heard it. So that's my update on the meeting. Means there really is no update. All right, I did something today that I meant to do last week, and we got carried away, and I didn't have time for it. It's been a few years since I did this. They still have the comic section in papers in every city. St. Louis Post-Dispatch, no exception. Here is today's comic. Folks, I don't know how. My next job, I'm going to write a comic strip because you don't have to be funny. They don't have to make any sense, and I don't know what these people make, but I think a lot. Let me share with you. I did this about 5 years ago. Can anybody explain to me, one, if you know anyone who ever reads the comics, and then the next question would be why? So let me just, these are some established comic strips. Let's start with Dustin. It's the very first one, D-U-S-T-I-N. Here's today's Dustin. It's two windows, just two, what do they call those? Two, that leads to a little block.
What, a bay window?
No.
Window.
the little graphic. It's just a
little
two,
strip.
Okay, here it says. Yeah. It's a young guy, and he goes, my horoscope says I'm going to get a great new job. And I guess this is his dad pouring a cup of coffee going, yeah? And his dad says, what does the help wanted section say? That's it. That's it. That's the comic. No.
No.
Are you Sally, reading all that? Sally right? Forth. I've seen Sally Forth. I don't read any of these. I haven't read one of these in years.
That's all there was to
that? That's it. That's the whole thing. Next one is Gilbert right after that. That's it. Okay, here. Sally Forth. Here we go. It's a woman and then a guy, young guys, and the guy says, hey, Tom Racine wants to discuss my borrowing his RV for our camping trip. And he says, you know, it's weird. When I was on the phone with him, I felt another presence giving me a hard, judgmental stare on the other end of the line. And his wife says, you mean like I was when I couldn't believe you were calling a neighbor we barely see to borrow his RV? And then here's the end of it. He says, oh, I thought you were just listening intensely for the answer. Wow, I really should be better at reading facial expressions by now.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow. That
was the last.
I'll do another one. They don't get any better. No, they don't get any better.
I was trying to help you.
Rhymes with Orange. That's a cartoon strip.
Okay.
Well, here it is. It's one picture, not two, three, or four, a strip. It's just one. And it says, Catwoman's Night Off. And there's a Catwoman suit hanging on a hanger, and the Catwoman boots are on the floor. And over on a lounger is Catwoman out of her cat suit. And here is the joke. Here's the bubble out of her mouth. Feels good to get out of my work clothes.
That's it. That's it.
Feels good to get out of my work clothes.
I gotta write comic strip. Here, High and
Lois. She
should
be sitting in a litter box or something.
Yeah. High and Lois. High and Lois have been around for like 100 years, okay? I've seen two little pictures. A and B. Here they are. I don't know which is High and which is Lois. Oh, the woman obviously would be Lois. Lois says, they're watching TV, and she says, this guy is all talk and no action. And High says, you have to walk the walk to talk the talk. And their little baby says, I can't do any of that.
That's it?
That's it.
All right.
Now, I get it. The baby can't walk or talk. Is that funny? No. Beetle Bailey. Been around forever.
Yep.
Two pictures. First one, Beetle Bailey says, he's in the Jeep, open Jeep. He goes, look at this view. Nature's canvas is something to behold. And the other guy says, don't change the subject. That's it. That's it.
I don't get that.
No, that's it. Nobody. The Pajama Diaries. Here we go.
Pajama Diaries.
Woman's walking in the door holding groceries, and there's a young girl reading a book, and she goes, oh, finals are killing me. Like, you know, final exam. And her mom says, babe, it's okay to take a break. Why don't you clear your head and watch TV? She says, okay. And then here's the last block. Dad comes home. What's Jess doing watching TV? She did that all afternoon. And mom says, lies of omission will haunt you forever. That's it. That is it.
Wow.
These are called comic strips. Let's go back and try to... The word comic means comedy. It means... what am I missing here?
I don't know.
A couple more. Here's the other side. Here we go. The Family Circus. It's only one block.
Oh, that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, it's just one picture and one caption. And it shows a girl running home with obviously some homework, a piece of paper in her hand. Here's what it says. She's yelling, I guess, to her mother, I got a gold star for attendance, Mommy, and guess where she put it? And there's a gold star on her forehead. That's it? Is that funny? Is that supposed to be funny?
Guess where she put it.
Marmaduke. It's a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Man and woman watching TV. Picture window behind them, and in the window there's a squirrel up on a branch, and Marmaduke is like, looking up at the squirrel. And here's what it says. The husband says, how did a squirrel get our TV remote? That's it. No, that's it. No, maybe tomorrow I will be in with my first comic strip.
Do they have...
Maybe we're not smart enough for them.
Does anybody at the paper actually read and go, why are we paying for these? Do readers write in and go, oh, man, thanks for having Marmaduke. It's hilarious.
And those are like... That person that writes Marmaduke, they're in all sorts of papers
all over
throughout
the country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody is actually reading them. And nobody has bothered to have a meeting and say, we're paying the syndication rights for all these comics. Is anybody reading these? I don't know if anybody's had that meeting yet. They may find out. No, not one single person reads them. They work crossword puzzles. They don't read this.
Can you see those online if you're a subscriber?
I don't think so.
Paper?
Because I've looked at the paper. That's a great question. I've looked at the paper online and they don't pop up. Maybe you can go click to them or something or type in comics. But, oh my goodness, I would like to think if you read the comics and you're kind of having a bad morning, Yeah, Marmaduke. Ooh. Okay, I feel better.
Do they have a Lockhorns one there? We've got a listener requesting. Lockhorns. Yeah, that you got to read the Lockhorns.
Hang on.
Oh, Lockhorns.
Yeah, I think it's the Viking one, right?
Dustin,
yeah,
Sally Ford, so. Swine, Pearls Before Swine, Dilbert, Baby Blues, Garfield, Mother Goose, and Grimm.
Oh, what's Dilbert? Dilbert used to be
okay,
good.
Okay, here's Dilbert. Dilbert. Which one's Dilbert? I don't know.
Dilbert's the guy with no real like facial expressions, okay. Red and black tie.
I edited your draft to fix all the dumb parts. It's in your email. The other guy says, when do you think you'll publish it? And here's the last one. The first guy says, depends on how long it takes me to reverse all your edits. That's it. No, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
This is somebody is out there opening a check, royalty check, who writes these laughing their heads off thinking, ha, ha, they're still paying me and nobody's even bothering to read that.
I'm working on one. I have one called Fred the Felon, so I'm working on it right now.
Here's, okay, what we say we're looking for? What? What's it called? Luster?
Lockhorns.
Here's Sally Forth, Baby Blues, Mother Goose and Grimm, Mutz, Deflocked, Prickly City, Pickles, High and Lowest, Rhymes with Orange, Beetle Bailey, Breaking Cat News, the Pajama Diaries.
Breaking
No Lockhorn. Gravel, Mark Trail, Ziggy, Lola, Other Coast, Argyle Sweater, Take It from the Tinkersons.
Tinkersons.
Duplex, Nancy, Cornered Non Sequitur, Speed Bump, Zits. That's a comic strip.
Oh, that's been around for a long time, too. Zits. It has.
Okay, here's Zits today. One guy says, they look like Bill and Ted or something. I should start a dog walking business. And the other guy goes, that could work. And the guy goes, just remember that part of dog walking is picking up poop. And the guy goes, any chance that you're looking for a entry-level position? That's it.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That's it.
An entry-level position.
Okay, folks. Here's a bizarro. It's one picture. And it's a scraggly guy putting down a bowl that says kitty on the bowl in front of a cat. And the cat says, next time, could you grab some liver? I'm not kidding, folks. There's something going on here where the comic strip world of writers is pulling off the greatest scam ever. Writing comics that aren't funny and nobody notices it.
The cat one has got me chuckling a little bit. The cat one.
Which cat one?
That you just read.
It does? Yeah. Next time, could you grab some liver? Why is that funny?
Because cats like liver, and obviously, I mean, the cat can't speak, so it's kind of funny. Like, you know, he's giving him some milk, and he's like, yeah, next time, can I have some liver? I thought it got me a chuckle.
You're right. Now that you say it, it's hilarious. So I don't see that one you're asking for.
You don't see the Lockhorns?
No.
That's a shame.
Not in here. Okay, so there you go for what it's worth. 314, here are numbers. You're going to need them when Josh Bauman comes in. You can call now if you like because we have nothing going. I'll do a quick bit of business, and we'll take your calls, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Going to the dentist. From the time you are a kid, many of you, early childhood, you establish the fact that you hate going to the dentist. And I think when you're a kid, that's when it's most important that you go to the right dentist, because if you don't, then for the rest of your life, you avoid it. Because you know, when I was a kid, I went, it really hurt. So take your kids to Ballast Dental Care. My grandson, he'll be six in July. He's only been to one dentist, Ballast Dental Care, and probably the only place he'll ever go. I hope. And he's not afraid to go to the dentist. He's not quite six, and he's not afraid. I know people that are 46, and they're scared to death to go to the dentist. And you know why? Because they've never been to Balanced Dental Care. It's a lot easier to end up in a dental chair where you're going to get hurt or experience discomfort than it is to find one where that's not the case. I found it for you. Found it for you 46 years ago. Ballast Dental Care at the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads. Some terrific dentists, but more than that, an entire staff of terrific people who know that if you come in there and it's your first visit, you're sweating, you're nervous, you probably took a Valium or something before you went because you're expecting the same experience you had in that dental clinic where they hurt you or the shot was painful or they hit a nerve, or you didn't like the way they acted or talked to you, or the dentist had such bad breath that it actually went through that little mask they wear. That's how bad it was. It was melting that mask. The breath was so bad. And when a dentist works on you, they lean right over you. And they're like right on top of you. So if they've got any BO or something, you're going to smell it. Dentists have to constantly be aware that the person 6 inches from their face is evaluating everything they do. Their technique, their equipment, their personal hygiene, it's all important. And if you're not going to the dentist because you had a bad experience, here's the deal. I have a place you can go and you won't have that experience again. It's Ballast Dental Care. The rest is up to you. Make an appointment, please. One appointment. If you regularly go or you haven't been for decades, Ballast Dental Care. The corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. Do you need to take a break?
I do not know.
All right. We can take a couple of calls. Holding the longest, it looks like, is John. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Yeah, how you doing there? I am AM in the PM.
Thank you, John.
Hey, I want to ask you guys a question there. You talk about reading cartoons. Does anybody read horoscopes or anything online, or, I mean, on the papers anymore? Or
I think very old people do. I've never read a horoscope. Anybody here read horoscopes?
Every now and again, sure.
Yeah. Why? Really. Why do you do that?
Yeah.
It's just
reading.
Complete BS.
Yeah, just reading, just because it's there.
Okay. So the answer for me is no, I've never read one. Tim?
Oh, okay.
Realistically.
You had what, John?
No, I never. No, I just want to know. You were talking about online things, so I was just trying to see if anybody. I mean, I don't follow horoscopes either. But real quick, there. In the older days, they used to get the horse racing results. So, do they also do that too on the paper now?
Great question. In the sports section, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tim says yes. The horse racing results are there.
Yep.
Oh, they're still there. Okay. Hey, one more thing. why do people think that it's so easy to transition from TV to radio? You make it sound so easy, but there's a people down there dial there that think that they're supposedly radio personalities. I don't know if you've been listening to these newcomers. What advice would you give them there, Mr. Pinion?
Well, my advice would be don't think because somebody's on TV that they'd be good on the radio, just like because somebody's good on radio doesn't mean they'd be good on television. But some radio stations think, ooh, we got the weatherman on to host a radio show. That automatically will make people want to... No, it won't. They're usually horrible. They're usually terrible. Well, they are.
Yeah, it's like telling a cartoonist that you're out of a job and now you could become a radio guy or radio jock or whatever you call it.
Well, John, people don't realize how hard this job is. You know, on TV, if you're attractive, that's what carries you. See, we don't have that luxury. They don't know what we look like, and most of us are not attractive. So we can't rely on that. It has to be pure talent. That's what we have. 100% talent.
Yeah, you don't hear anything about, like, you hear, for you know, we're a TV babe, you don't hear a radio babe, right? You know what I'm saying? Hey, but another thing is, who's the guy on Carol Burnett that just died? Burt Convy? Wasn't that a guy that did a match game?
Tim Conway.
Oh, I thought it was, what happened to Burt Convy? What, did he pass away too, or whatever happened?
I think he passed away a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah
Burt Convy's been dead for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was a pretty good-looking guy, though, too. But not that I'm, you know, a favorite of, you know, male persuasion. But
well, he had that curly hair. He had a perm.
He died in 91.
Right. Yeah. Oh, hey, 91. What?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, is Carol Burnett going to bring up an old TV show again? Or is she going to have a remake of their old Carol Burnett show?
I don't think so.
Seems like that's the only thing these network survivors are bringing the old shows back because they can't do nothing else. Thanks a lot. Good show.
What the hell just happened?
Yeah, I think you ran out of questions.
I love that guy. No, he's called before. Love his style.
Well, see, when you're in prison, you don't hear the other person in here. They say, this call will end in 10 seconds.
The warden's standing right over his shoulder. John, we're just kidding, we think. You might be in prison. And if you are in prison, John, that's okay. Call anytime because I find you very entertaining. Yeah, I love the way he goes. One more thing. And then one more thing is one more thing, and then one more thing. One more thing.
He's the only caller in my history of being on the show that refers to you as Mr. Pinion.
Well, and he doesn't have to do that.
You know what? He reminds me of that Billy Crystal thing. You know, remember, you know how you take
I
a
hate
step?
It when that happens.
Yeah.
That guy. What a stupid bit, but it was so funny.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you...
Like you try to put up some drywall and you drive a nail right through your eyeball. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. you ever take one of those
golf tees?
Yeah. You start digging out your belly button and take one of those
things you're shaking up and it snows inside?
Yeah, you start pounding away on that golf tee. That gets all that belly button hair out of there.
I completely forgot to mention it. When I was in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, you know who I went to see in Las Vegas? Rich Little.
Oh.
And I was 10 feet from him. It was a small comedy club. Just a small club with some tables and chairs. He's right in front of you. And I'm going to tell you something. It was terrific. And he gets up at the very beginning and says, "That's right, I'm still alive." And he says, "And if you're in this audience, you're under 40, take a Valium and take a nap because you're not going to know anything I'm talking about." And then he proceeds to do, and he shows clips of all, not all, but many of his TV appearances. He hosted The Tonight Show, I think it was 32 times, Rich Little. And then they show him at the Dean Martin roasts. He did dozens of those Dean Martin roasts. It was a terrific show. And you forget how big a deal Rich Little was. Rich Little was everywhere. Ed Sullivan, Dean Martin, Johnny Carson, Carol Burnett, all the variety shows. And you also forget how good he was. And he does some impressions right there in front of you that even today, even though usually they're older, that's John doing Josh's routine. Mm. even though they're older people, like, you know, Jimmy Stewart, you just forget how good he was and still is. And he's like 82. And those voices, he has not lost the ability to do those voices. I completely forgot. Yeah.
Would you like to talk to Bill before we get to the
show? Sure, we'll talk to Bill, then we'll take another quick break. Bill, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, Frank. Long time listener, man.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate
it. Hey, I'm aiming the TM all the way.
Thank you.
Anyway, let me give you a real short story, okay, because I need your advice.
All right, you got a minute and a half. Take it.
I bought a car on 4/15 of 19.
Okay.
On 5/15 of 19, I went in there because of my wife. I'm sorry to say that. I went in there and told them that they hadn't cashed my check yet. I wrote them a $21,000 personal check on 4/15, right. And on 5/15, they haven't put it in the bank yet.
Wow.
So, I'm thinking to myself, what would Frank O'Pinion do? So anyway, I'm talking to this guy, and this guy says to me, "Frank, that just doesn't happen here." And I'm like, "Well, it did, because I'll bet you that check is stapled to the paperwork and put in a file of some sort."
Yeah.
The bank, the check is not in the bank. So I told him that. On 5/15. What is it, 5/21 today? Or
5/20.
20th? Okay. Yeah.
Still not in the bank. So I'm just asking you, Frank O'Pinion, one of my idols. I listen to you like 90% of the time. What would you do?
Well, I'd do what you did. After a month, I'd say the check hasn't cleared. What's the deal? I mean, what else can you do?
I understand that. I'm not gonna call them back or nothing.
No, I wouldn't call them again. Apparently they need to get a new bookkeeper.
That's what I thought. I'll bet you that wouldn't happen at Londoff.
Well, I can't say it would or wouldn't, but I don't understand. Well, 6 weeks. Yeah, somebody's gonna get the butt chewed out when they realize that check is stuck in a drawer somewhere. It'll pop up. It'll show up eventually. But yeah, you've done all you need to do. Don't worry about it. It's their problem.
So. I'm going to call you back in 6 months. I'm going to call you back in October and tell you this thing is still not in the bank.
Oh, I don't think that'll happen. I don't think that'll happen. I got to run, but I don't think that'll happen. Thank you. Thank you, Bill, for the call. I appreciate it. Oh, man, I'm a little behind. Let me get caught up real quickly here. What a fantastic Saturday night, Window World. The 10th, I believe, annual trivia night.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun, and a lot of money was raised for St. Jude. They broke their previous record, which they do every year. But let's not forget what they do so well that makes it possible for them to put that kind of money into a great facility like St. Jude and to get you to help them. They sell windows, replacement windows, and lots of them. and the windows are good windows and the price is a good price, that equals value. There are lots of reasons that in just a few short years, this window became the number one selling replacement window in the United States. If you'd like to know more about the product, more about the company, and some of the reasons why it's such a great value, go to windowworldstlouis.com. That's windowworldstlouis.com. I see Josh Bauman is in the next room. He is raring to go. So after we chat with Mr. Londoff, who was the star of the evening at the trivia night and got a trophy, a really valuable, expensive trophy. Very expensive. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't. The handle broke off. We'll talk about that after we talk to Londoff. We'll have Josh Bauman, so stay where you are. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Justice Department officials say former White House counsel Don McGahn is not legally required to